Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. So what we're going to do to start off the SWP from now on is, and I hope you'll indulge us good listeners, and we hope that you'll consider a membership as well, is we're going to come up with a big 10. 10 Patreon members mentioned at the start of every single program moving forward. So we should start with the legends. Henry Backer has got Backer's General Store just outside of Manitouk. Great store. Check it out. Bill Grease, longtime hockey coach. Great guy. Jimmy Fata, big listener, friend of the show for a long time. Tony Zane, who I play pickup hockey with and has become a great friend. G Money, we worked with at Bell Media. Marcus Von B, longtime listener. Got Mark D, Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet, Burnsy 79, Kevin Waghorn. So there's the 10 for today. Thank you for your indulgence. So, and thank you for listening. I don't want anybody to lose sight of that, we appreciate our great listenership. But thank you to our Patreon members. We'll do the big 10 at the start of every program. And thanks as well to the Glenn Walton Real Estate team, our great partnership with them, as well as the one we have with Jason K. and everybody at Jim K. Ford.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
All right, welcome to our program. It is the SWP, Sports and Whatever Show, Steve Warren Project, whatever. I'm Steve, that is Jimmy. Jimmy's got his Christmas red plaid going today. How are things, James?
Apparently I'm colorblind, Steve. Just took me 10 minutes to suss out a video you were sending me. And, you know, that could be a little difficult, Steve, if you're, you know, saying, okay, they're both, for some reason, they both ended up with dark jerseys tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're trying to go see that hit on that guy and go, well, that's Gallardo's team. You're like, no. Gallardo's on the other team. It's Gallardo. What? Yeah. And then, so I was having trouble with that, Steve. If people heard the audio of it, they go, well, obviously the two teams are wearing identical jerseys.
No,
Jim. One is in dark red and the other one is in pure white. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a bit of a struggle for sure. But I think we're on the same page now in what happened. And that was one of the things we want to talk about today, what happened between the Sens and the Red Wings. We'll get into a little bit about the Sens game. The Sens are driving me crazy. Like they're just like anchored to the 500 mark.
Right.
All season long, they've either been one game over 500 is their best and two games under 500 has been their worst. It's been one of those one step forward, two steps back, and vice versa, and it's driving me fucking crazy. Anyway, we'll talk about the stuff going on with the Sens, including a Brady Tkachuk penalty shot that went really, really weird, mm-hmm. and a firing in the NHL as far as coaches go, and not involving Ottawa, which has got Sens fans a little crazy, and Bill Belichick on the hot seat in New England, which is insane to me, and some sad news from our industry that we came from, the radio world. I don't think there's a bigger name in Ottawa radio history. I know this probably, you know, won't do your ego any good at all, James, but I believe this person to be the biggest name in Ottawa radio history. I'm speaking of Ken, the General Grant, who passed away today at the age of 88. Let me play a clip here to see if this jogs people's memories.
You are the reason we do what we do. General and you on CFRA.
Hi there and a good morning. It's 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
That's a little taste of what that particular show sounded like. Ken the General Grant was certainly a radio icon. James, you would were you around for him?
Oh, yeah. I knew the General. Sure. Yeah, I knew Ken. Yeah. And we moved to Ottawa in 74, which was prime General Grant time. Yeah. And that's what my dad had on the radio. That's what everyone had on in their car.
A third of all radios in the city of Ottawa in Ken Grant's heydays in the 70s were tuned in to his show.
Yeah. I heard it was even more, you know, like just hundreds of thousands of people. were listening to Ken Grant.
Like, that'd be about a third, I think, right?
Yeah. To keep that in perspective, Steve, I forget, but you know, we had good ratings, cumulative, you know, total amount of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was like, is it 80,000 a week or something?
Oh, that we God, had? I don't know. 50, I don't even 60, remember
70,
now.
70, 80, 100,000. Anyway, this guy had about, you know, 57 times as much, you know, as what anyone's ever had, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ken would never do it, but if he ever bumped into, I don't know who the number one radio station is in Ottawa. It's probably CBC Radio. I don't know.
Right.
But if he ever bumped into one of those folks and they started bragging about being the number one station and they told Ken what their ratings are today, he would laugh and laugh and laugh.
Right.
Because he was a ratings just superstar. I mean, that, yep. and radio was still a big deal then. It yeah, wasn't the shrinking industry that it is now.
Yeah, it was cool. The march or whatever it was. Going to march. Did he march you off every hour, or was it just at 8 o'clock?
It was at the bottom of every hour. I remember it vividly. It was 6:30, 7:30, and 8:30, and I was always 7:30. I'm eating my breakfast cereal, whatever I decided to get mom to buy because of the cartoon I watched that Saturday, and I'd be mowing down on cereal, and would always be at 7:30. Okay, let's march the 7:30ers off forward, ho! Yeah, yeah. And then he'd have a marching band play for about a 60-second window, and it was corny and everything, but it certainly worked at the time.
Yeah, corny and lame, right? It's like, but that's what everyone's waiting for.
Yeah.
You know, like Mayhew told me one time, like, if you, you know, people love their morning radio, that's why he thinks radio will always survive, you know, mm-hmm. because people want their live morning bit. And same thing with their drive, you know, and talk radio now, right? They still, where they listen to it, I guess that's the, that'll be the telltale sign, you know. But he said, you know, if you start to mess with people's routine in the morning, like you just said, you know, every single morning, it would never feel the same if you were eating your breakfast at 20 after 7 and, you know, and going, well, wait, no,
yeah,
wait a minute here, 7:30, you know, that people – For no other apparent reason than it's the start of my day. I don't know. Like,
you know, well, no, you just you really do as a morning show host, you become part of people's routines and stuff, and in some cases even feeling like you're part of their family. And I got that in a big dose when Buzz died.
Right.
Tim Kilpatrick, he was our old co-host on TSN 1200 in the morning show. And when he passed, I believe it was 2008. I honestly didn't know what the general public's feeling was about Buzz at the time. Mm-hmm. And when he passed away and I wrote a small essay on Buzz, the feedback and the outpouring of emotion, like, I feel like I've had, you know, lost a family member and I can't believe he's gone. And that was really sudden, right? Because that was while he's still on the air and people are still listening to him. In the case of Ken General Grant, there's lots of vivid memories, but he's been off the air for 30 years. So, it just gave me a real sense of, how radio really connects with people.
Right. And those are good, you know, those are good takes, right? Where people did that when Buzz died. And the most heartwarming, Steve, to show you that people have really come a long way, you know, when someone does die, right. And they, you know, they want to make a comment. The most heartwarming one I saw today, Steve, when you sent me this, was the General Grant died. And the guy said, Lowell Green was still the best.
Oh, jeez.
That timing's a little off, Steve.
Yeah, yeah. You could have debated that for the last 30 years. You might want to take today off.
Yeah. Maybe just heartwarming. Yeah.
Yeah. Wait up. Yeah.
You know, of all the accolades, you know, Stevie, yeah. I didn't think of that one, you know.
The it was interesting.
People,
having listened to him growing up, it was almost, you know, surreal to start working on his show. Most people would affiliate me with TSN 1200, but I also worked at Rogers Radio for 8 years, and in the early days of that stretch, I was the news and sports director at Oldies 1310, and in the I guess the latter stages of Ken's career after he left CFRA, did a few years at 1310. So I was doing news and sports, and it was just, I mean, talk about old habits die hard. Like, he was on CFRA for so long And he'd always call me Steve Winogron. Steve W, right? That's Steve Winogron coming up next with the news on the sports, because he was at CFRA forever as well. And so, and Ken worked with him for many years. He had some beauty gaffes, and but we loved him because he was definitely one of those guys that was always happy to see you. He was always inquisitive about Michael, because it was right around the time that he got his diagnosis. So condolences to Ken's family and friends, the passing of a radio titan. Moving on to hockey now.
Mm-hmm.
The St. Louis Blues have fired their coach. It seems like you're a hired to be fired scenario if you're in an NHL market anywhere that isn't the city of Ottawa.
Right.
What does somebody have to do in Ottawa to get fired around here? Anyway, so Craig Berube won the Stanley Cup in 2019.
Yes.
Okay. He was there for 5 years and made the playoffs in four of them. But they missed the playoffs last year, and they're off to a start where they're a game under 500, and Berube was asked to go away. Meanwhile, over in Ottawa, the Sens currently have the same record as Berube's Blues, a game under 500. Mm-hmm. And DJ Smith has been here since 2019. He's been to zero playoff games, let alone win a Stanley Cup. So Sens fans, a lot of them anyway, are just scratching their head, like I say, with the open-ended question, what does a guy got to do to get fired around here? The Sens just are being ultra-patient. And again, I still think a little of it is that Michael Andlauer is new to town. He's just taken over the team. He wants to analyze his employees. That's generally a good thing to do. But I just don't know if he's putting enough stock in the frustration level that had existed, that pre-exists his arrival in Ottawa.
Right. It kind of runs parallel with the other story. We're going to, like Belichick, right? Where now they want him fired. What's his face gets fired in both markets. It's like, yeah, but they're hugely successful, you know?
Yeah. Well, Belichick especially.
What if this footnote was on there about the Bay Ruby, Steve, the Bay Ruby announcement? Okay. All right. I'm just listening to some Two Cat Night. No, Jim, that's three dogs.
I get you.
Steve, what if this footnote was on there? Okay, so Berube should be unfireable at this point. Okay, he's only 4 years removed from a Stanley Cup, and as you said, four out of five seasons. Okay, so but everyone needs a change, Steve. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe Berube would be one of these guys you would think who would have some choice. Okay, that they might say to him each day, "Are you still good? You know, are you still good? Are you okay? You know, team's not going that good, but are you okay? Because we want you to stay here, you know?" Mm-hmm. And what if Steve, they're going, but Ruby has been dismissed. But rumor has it, he was allowed to talk to the Ottawa Senators. Hey?
So what's
maybe
the question?
Maybe Bay Ruby, Stevie, okay? Maybe
I love Bay Ruby.
Maybe Berube, Stevie.
Maybe don't take your love to town.
Yeah, maybe he's... Stevie, I got an idea for a show. I got an idea for a
show. Berube, don't take your love
to... Yeah. Anyway, what do you have to do to get fired in Ottawa? Well, you got to wait for the firing of another great coach, right?
Yeah.
Or the dismissal. The guy, you just figure the guy might have some choice there. Look, you know, you got to go sometime. I guess you want to, I don't want to be a 50-year coach, I guess, of the team. There's not many of those guys around, right, in the coaching field. And maybe he says, look at all, I'd like more of a challenge. You know, I've lost the room.
Okay, that can happen.
Room. Yeah, I've lost the room. I'm tired. I want to get out of St. Louis. Yada, yada, yada. And maybe I'll take a crack at Ottawa. Not that he gets to walk in there and go, here I am, hire me, you know. But Steve, not a bad grab, you know.
Well, I mean, the fact that they're holding on to DJ Smith, I don't think is because of the absence of suitable candidates. When you've got guys like Claude Julien out there, you've now got Jacques Martin, who's right there now. You just hired him as a coaching consultant. It'd be like in the heyday of TSN 1200 when... Let's say I'm the program director and I hire someone for the morning show who's a stand-up comic. Like, how would that make you feel? That's right. Sort of where DJ Smith is at right now with the hiring of Jacques Martin. I don't know how much he's using him or how, you know, Martin is intervening or if he's just if he's just consulting for Steve Staios, the new GM, I don't know. But the thing is, you've got suitable candidates out there, and the reasons for making a coaching change in Ottawa are many. And so Berube is just now another name you can add to the list of possibilities as guys that, you know, you might want to take a crack at. Let me ask you this. After all the business with Joel Quenneville, would anyone ever take a crack at him again, whether it's Ottawa or somebody else is looking for someone? Or is he done? Is he just gone from the NHL because he had information about a bad crime, an assault that went down by a member of the Chicago Blackhawks coaching staff, a video coach? He had information about it. He deferred it to the general manager, didn't act on it, and basically is out of hockey now as a result of it. Will he get a second chance one day?
Yeah, that I'll tell you what I think about that. It's funny you bring it up. First of all, Steve, there's no doubt, before we get to back up about Jacques Martin, okay? Jacques Martin was hired to interview new coaches, okay? That's why he's there. Okay, that's why Jacques is in there, okay? He's going to find us a new coach. That's his job.
Did somebody tell you that?
I just know. DJ Smith's gone. Okay, he's gone, and Jacques's in, okay? The one about Quenneville, I think Stevie,
it's a tough one, right?
I would hire him. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think it's a case of lock him up and throw away the key as far as his future NHL employment goes, but I don't know what the right number is. It's such a difficult thing because it sounds like you're soft on it or you don't care about the victims. That's not the case. But at some stage, like our corrective system is set up that people get out of jail someday. They do awful things. They do their time. They get out. They've served their time. What is the time? Mm-hmm. What is a point in time where Joel Quenneville, for not reporting this properly and bringing it to the right authorities, I think what he did was just basically, I'm busy with coaching here right now. I'll let Bowman and company deal with that.
Yes.
And he just basically put it out of his mind and focused on what he had to do. That's not the right thing, but I also believe in second chances.
Yeah, and the people who complain, Steve, who are outraged, you know, this is an outrage. Get rid of the guy. Look what happened. Look what was going on right under their nose, and they didn't do anything. Yada yada yada. They made a mistake. You know, they made a mistake. Corey Perry, for example, should he get to play hockey again? You know, it's.
Tell me what he did first. I don't know.
Well, I don't. I'm not sure either. But. Yeah, and you're right about speculation, but it's never a problem until it's a fucking problem. Excuse my language.
All good. I've sworn twice today, so it's all good.
Yeah.
I think for every one of my F-bombs, I think we agreed that you'd get 5,000.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. I think that was the ratio we decided.
Anyway.
So you're good.
Yeah. I hope people don't come after me, but it's like the guy who gets nailed for the betting, Steve. Okay? The
Shane Pinto.
The 41 games, right? And you know, everyone thinks, well, he's getting chopped here because he bet on the auto, you know, on his own team, or he bet on another team in the NHL, and everyone goes, that's taboo, you can't do that. And everyone says, what if he's betting on other teams, man, mm-hmm. like in other sports? And I always thought that should be fine. And then someone, it was either you or someone said, yeah, but you got to be careful. Like if you live in Tampa, for example, and you play for the Lightning, all right. And there's a bunch of other professional sports teams there, you know, the baseball team and the Buccaneers. They have a fraternity, Steve. They often go to each other's games. They often become best friends, you know, that I'm going to go to some Buccaneers games, but I play for the Lightning. And there would be the opportunity, Steve. There would be the opportunity to be told there's a lineup change here. We just got handed. We're just walking on the ice. Mm-hmm. And you might know that, right? So I began to understand that it's you've got to have a hard, fast rule, I think, about some of that gambling, you know? But maybe the kid did that, Steve, and didn't realize that.
Well, I think what happened in this case, Pinto shared his password. He's in Ottawa. He shares his password to FanDuel with his buddy back on Long Island and says, Here you go. Place a bet for me. And I think the guy, his buddy who had the password while there, and the bet was for, I think, a football bet or something like that. And his buddy, while there, did some things that were against the NHL rules.
Right.
And just in general, it's a bad bit of optics for you as an NHL player to be in a different country and getting your buddy over here to be making bets for you. Mm-hmm. It just opens up the possibility of abuse. I don't think they thought he was Pete Rose here, NHL's version of it, but they did have to clamp down and also send a message to the rest of the league.
Yeah, and I think Corey Perry, I read his response, you know, and I really believe, you know, it's like, how many ways can you say sorry, right, and believe someone? I believe Corey Perry said sorry a way that I've never heard and felt that he was beyond contrite, you know. I really do. He didn't from start to finish, you know. He talked about, well, you'd have to read it, but about everyone he harmed and that he was the problem.
Right.
No.
But how can you accept anybody's apology when you don't know what he did?
I guess. But yeah, the other thing, Steve, if someone came to you, you know, with a problem, okay, and said, here's what happened at work, okay, and this has to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Because of the nature of it. It needs to be dealt with for sure, but we're not going to do it right now because it's ratings, and we're going to wait till after the ratings, okay, to handle this. So you've got, you know, in radio, you got two bosses for sure, you know, the GM and your program director, and, you know, so there's two of them, and they're telling you that, Steve, okay? Mm-hmm. They're the guys who sign the check. They're the guys who do your contract. And you go like this, you know what? That's a terrible idea, and here's what we need to do. What we need to do is exactly not what you're suggesting, boss, right? Like, it would be a hard thing to do. It'd be a hard thing.
Especially if they say, no, that if you do that, you're fired.
Right. You know, like the owner of the Blackhawks, right? Mm-hmm. And Quenneville, if he steps up and goes, listen, man, this is what you need to do. And the guy goes, we're not doing that. We're not. It's my decision. I'll take the fall for it. And maybe that's why Quenneville, you know, but I don't think he did. Otherwise I think we would have heard something about that.
Yeah. Quenneville would have been shouting that from the hilltops.
He would have quit, you know,
or if he was told to quit and this all went down, if he was told, I need to come forward and say the higher up said, you're going to be fired, Joel, if you go and go public with this during our Stanley Cup run. He would have come forward with that at some point and said, hey, listen. They said they were going to fire me if I told everybody. I assumed they'd do the right thing. They said they're going to fire me. That wouldn't be fully exonerating him or anything like that, because he still should have done it. He still should have protected the safety of his player and kids in the future. But it would have at least mitigated the seriousness of the offense.
Right. I agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, rev up your engines and get ready for the deal of a lifetime. Jim K. Ford is proud to announce the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale, the event you've been waiting for. For a limited time only, Jim K. Ford is offering unbeatable discounts, jaw-dropping financing options, and mind-blowing trade-in deals. Don't miss out on the 2023 Ford F-150 Clearout Sale at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
The housing market in Ottawa can be a volatile world out there. And if you're looking to buy or sell right now, the Glenn Walton real estate team can help. Glenn helped my family sell a home a couple of years ago and did a ton for us, including staging. He provided a great painter, a cleaner, and even bought new ceiling lights. All to make sure the home was looking its best on picture day, and it was all part of his services. He can do the same for you. Visit glennwalton.com. All right, let's move on.
Yeah, let's go.
Finish up here with a little bit of Bill Belichick. I'm a little disturbed by this whole thing about, I know they've fallen on hard times, they just don't have a quarterback, but Bill Belichick, there's actually people in New England and in the media that are saying it's time to replace Bill Belichick. Like, some coaches, in my opinion, just rise to the level of just stay as long as you want. Like, that's how good Bill Belichick has been in his time with the New England Patriots. And yet there's still this big outcry right now. We need to make a coaching change. Like, let's just go through the record of Bill Belichick. Like, he didn't make the playoffs last year, made the playoffs the year before, didn't make it. So this will be the third time in 4 years that New England hasn't made the playoffs. But they were 7-9, 10-7, 8-9. And then this year is what it is. And then if you look at his career, though, going back to 2001, won the Super Bowl, missed the playoffs, won the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, got to the second round, got to the AFC Championship game, lost the Super Bowl, missed the playoffs, went to the playoffs, lost a Super Bowl, lost the AFC title game, lost the AFC title game, won the Super Bowl, lost the AFC title game, won the Super Bowl, lost the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, and then the last 4 years went down, as I just mentioned. So, I mean, if you have a record like that, who's coming in to replace that guy exactly that you think is just going to turn this thing around overnight? You've got a Hall of Famer. He's done everything. I say keep him. I mean, I've never liked him as far as his communication skills with the media goes. He's always been a bit prickly that way, but the record speaks for itself. Just let him ride into the sunset for as long as he wants.
Yeah. Well, we just referenced that with Berube, right? Or I did, right? Where you're going, if you know, I believe Berube at this stage in his career was just way too young to say, oh my God, you got to go, man. Holy fuck. You know, like you've done shit. No. He's done a lot, you know. So I really believe that he might, you know, would have the upper hand a little bit.
Yeah, but let's
now,
not.
If
let's
it's
not
Bill put, Belichick,
yeah, this is Berube on steroids,
right?
Like 100 times better. Yeah,
yeah. So I can't back up on what I said about Berube, but
yeah, don't Belichick, Stevie,
okay. Belly, okay,
Stevie,
yeah, Belichick, Stevie gets to do whatever he wants. I agree.
Like, yeah.
I agree. Like, yeah.
It was like here in town, I know it's a small deal and everything. For those who are NFL fans who don't like the CFL, I know you'll chuckle at it. It's like, small potatoes of the CFL. Right. But here in Ottawa, we had the Red Blacks. And you had two guys in Marcel Desjardins and Rick Campbell that were the GM and the head coach. And they did something nobody has done in 40 years in this town, and that's win a Grey Cup in 2016.
Right.
And within a couple of years, they were gone. They fired the GM. Rick Campbell walked away. Now, part of it was the GM and the head coach quarreling a little bit. But, man, the accomplishment was phenomenal in that they did something that no one has done in four decades, and they should have tried to smooth things over somehow and keep that thing together because it was rocking. It was going. Mm-hmm. And since they continued pretty good until 2018, and after they walked off the field at the Grey Cup in 2018, losers that day, they have not been back to the playoffs, and they've not won four games in a season in any year since. So my point to New England Patriots fans from my small town story with the Red Blacks is careful what you wish for, because every coach is going to go through it. You know what Bill Belichick has done for that organization. Just relax. You're going to have some down years. You had 20 good ones.
Yeah. Yeah. And even Bill Belichick will say, listen, the stars aligned, man. You know, the stars aligned here. Tom Brady and, you know.
Well, that's probably the
Gronk, you know, and whoever else came through there, you know. Yeah.
The crux of it is, I think that's what people who want the guy replaced are thinking, that this was Tom Brady's accomplishment and not Bill Belichick's these last 20 years.
Right.
So that may be part of it for sure.
You know, the nice thing about football, if you're a coach, football's the way to go, Stevie, because there's only, 16, 18 games reg season? Then you might, you know, if you win the bowl, you got to tack on another three games or something.
17 down there, 18 up here.
Yeah, 17 there. And then a few other games, right, to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. As little as.
Fuck, that's not bad, Steve. You know, talk to a hockey coach who's going, uncle on the fucking travel and the practices every single day and the six, you know, the 28 game playoff run. Mm-hmm. Okay, over 6 minutes, you know, or whatever,
yeah.
You know, that one, right? Coach, like, uncle, I've had enough, you know, I don't want to do it anymore, but.
You know,
I don't say any of that to Bill Belichick, you know, it's like, fuck, if the guy wants to stay, you know, there's a lot of coaches, Steve, who are in their 70s, you know, in football.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. But in terms of, just to wrap it up, when I think about the grind of pro sports, I think people just, you know, they think it's the easiest life in the world. It is a grind. Like, it's go, go, go. It's physically taxing. It's mentally taxing. You're traveling all the time, living out of hotel rooms. It's still a great life, particularly with the insane money they make.
Right.
But I would imagine you get to the end of it as a player. Every player says the same things in that in the locker room, that's, you know, they miss the camaraderie of it and stuff. There's no doubt about that. There's things you miss. But at the end, you'd think you'd want to put your feet up, particularly today's athlete, right? That has made tens of millions of dollars. They don't need to really work anymore. I'm talking to former Senator Kyle Turris yesterday, and he's got three young kids. They're all in minor hockey. He's coaching them all. He's running around with his hair on fire. He's going back to school to get his business degree. He's got a job with the Vancouver Canucks. He's training to work in admin and maybe, you know, look at management at some point. It's like, as I'm listening to him, I'm going, man, dude, if I've got your money, I'm just looking after the kids. And that is all. That is my full-time job right now. Just taking them to hockey practices, watching some TV, putting my feet up, playing some golf. He's out in Vancouver now, so I'm sure their season is probably still going. I'm amazed by that, that some players, particularly today's players who don't need to work anymore, are as busy as they are.
Yeah, you know, I remember, Stevie, there's somebody here that people have to remember, you know, and actually it was from my dad that I remember when he had to retire because he was sick. But I remember him saying this, and it has a lot to do with guys who have longtime careers like that, like Bill Belichick, is there's many reasons to quit and there's many, many reasons why they want to stay. But one of the big ones, Steve, is, and it affects them quite a bit, is they think they have their value is taken away when you retire.
Right.
Okay. That all of a sudden you were so valuable. And I remember my dad when he had to retire from being on the bench, he was sick. He was breathless about, well, what am I going to do? You know, I had a valuable job. I had a great job. I was, you know, helping people. And I know he was tormented about that, you know?
Yeah.
Tormented about it. And
why does every radio guy get a podcast going, right? It becomes kind of your part of your identity, and you just want to keep the good times.
Or Belichick, right? Going, fuck, what am I going to do, man? If I don't do this, because I like what I do because I'm helping so many people reach a really great potential, you know? Mm-hmm. Right. And that for sure comes into it. Right. That I know guys, Bruce Hillary in Ottawa, Hillary Cleaners, right. That guy folded shirts. He may still be doing it, you know, and he's into his 80s. And I remember him telling me, go, I tried to retire. I said, fuck, I got depressed. I got, you know, it was, not, I had zero fun, you know, and he ended up, eventually he did, you know, but. And that's not an uncommon story, right? And one of them is they lose their value, right? Or they think they lose their value. And hence, you know, questioning what we are today about Bill Belichick. Holy Christ, Bill, right off into the sunset, man, you know?
Yeah.
How old's Bill Belichick? 75?
Early 70s for sure.
Yeah.
So, now that's part of it. It's a tough thing. If you feel like that's part of your identity, that's definitely hard to let go of.
I can only imagine, Steve, that you'll never quit this podcast because of the value I provide you.
Right. That must be it. That must be
think about it, Steve.
Yes. Huh? You provide the value to me.
You probably haven't whipped that one around in your mind a little bit, Steve, but I'd like to leave you with that thought today.
It's a hell of a thought.
Yeah.
Don't forget that our website, ladies and gentlemen, is stevewproject.com. Anything you'd like to know about the program can be found right there. You're going to say.
Well, Berube, Steve, he'd be a great fit, okay, for the timing of it. And, you know, if you didn't understand the great career he had in St. Louis, please, please, Steve, remind yourself of how great he was when he was with the Minnesota North Stars.
Nice.
Right?
Bravo.
All right.
Man. Any Christmas music to take us out? Your pick. You pick anyone you want.
Any Christmas music?
We can do the T-Gore Christmas Carol. Christmas is here.
We can't do that one.
Well, I don't want you to sing.
I never learn the words. You put in all the work, and you're like, Jim, all you got to do is read the fucking words. Can you do that?
No, I'm sorry. I was going to put it in post. I'm not going to do it now. I don't need you to sing
Have yourself a merry, merry Christmas. That's my Dean Martin.
Well, it's not Stevie. A merry little Christmas. It's not a merry, merry Christmas.
No, it's not Stevie. It's good to have everyone here on. Thank you for listening. Have yourself. Everybody, love somebody. Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.